Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in our place. Father, I pray that as we think on that this morning and as we celebrate your Son Jesus' death and resurrection, that we would be reminded and that we would be impacted by our King. That we would be reminded of your goodness and the fact that that broke the chains and that we can live a free life. So Jesus, be with us this morning. Lead us, stir our hearts, excite us for you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Well, it is Palm Sunday, as I said earlier. And this morning we're trying some new technology, so we're trusting that things sound good on your end at home this morning. We've played with things, played with sound settings for about 3 hours this morning. Poor Dave's going to have a nap in the corner here by the drums. He forgot his pillow, but he's going to do his best, right, Dave? I'll get you a bunny hug if you need. But we're working through these technology pieces, and you know we're trusting that it sounds good. So if it doesn't, turn us up or turn us down, whatever that might need to be, and we'll get it right for next week. Yeah, you want to turn us up. Did you really like that Facebook status I put a couple weeks ago about muting your pastor? I thought Man. See, Lyle's got that trick with, he's got hearing aids, right? So he'll just turn him down. And then he looks like he's listening. He'll nod once in a while. I know, Lyle. I know those tricks. So our title today is Palm Sunday. We're welcoming the King. So this Sunday is a special Sunday because this is the day where we celebrate Jesus and his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. So this event is so important. And we know it's important because it's actually captured in all four of the Gospels. And growing up, I recall Palm Sunday quite real and vividly in my life because at our church that we attended when I was younger, we used to get palm branches. So every Sunday, when Palm Sunday, you didn't know when it was until you walked in as a kid, right? And they gave you the palm branches, and it was a great opportunity to practice braiding. So me and my friends, we'd sit and we'd braid the palm branches. That's why I don't give out palm branches. It's the same reason I don't give out candles on Christmas Eve service because I know what I did with candles on Christmas Eve service. But, so palm, and then we could whip each other with the palm branches, and they hurt. Have you ever been hit by a palm branch, Gary? Yeah, right? It's good fun. So, what they did, though, when Jesus' triumphant return, is they sang songs of praise and worship to Jesus, and all these branches would have been waved around, and as he was coming in, and we're going to talk about it here in a few moments, but they scattered them in front of Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem. And Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem was one of victory. It was one of uniqueness, actually. See, because when you think about what happened, this is actually just about 4 days before Jesus' arrest on the Thursday and his crucifixion on Friday. Palm Sunday, man, that's not a lot of days to lose favor from the people that are singing your praises and they're waving palm branches. Like, boy, rough crowd. See, in biblical times, oh, I shouldn't have put that up there yet. You'll be looking at the scripture. In biblical times, palm branches were a symbol of victory. It's like when people like to wave their flags at football games or whatever they wave at hockey games, and I don't know, there's not much you can wave at a hockey game. Hockey sticks? But this was something that they waved in victory. It was a symbol of victory. It was a symbol of goodness, and we talked last week about God's goodness and how we should celebrate it. Well, this ties right in to Palm Sunday. See, palm branches and palm leaves were on coins. They were placed on important buildings. And that scripture I just had up that you probably already are looking up, from Kings, 1 Kings 6:29. It says, Solomon had palm branches carved on the walls and doors of the temple as outlined. So, oh boy, what am I doing? I should read the scripture instead of talking about it. Around all the walls of the house he carved engraved figures of cherubim and palm trees and open flowers in the inner and outer rooms. That's around the house, around the temple, around the walls of the kingdom. And I think it's really, really a unique perspective because it carries on into the book of Revelation. In Revelation 7:9, we read about people from every nation, every tribe. They raise palm branches to honor Jesus. And it says this in Revelation 7:9-12. It says, after this, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels, oh boy, what did I just do? Uh-oh. I really messed that up. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Forever and ever. And they're waving palm branches in celebration and victory. See, Hosanna, what I said at the start of the service. I think it's something that's got power for us. It's a celebration. And we want to read just the last bit of this story, and then we're going to celebrate communion. And it says in Matthew 21:1-9, it says, and when they came near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage of the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples ahead, saying to them, go into the village that is opposite you, and at once you will find a donkey and a colt with her, and untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall reply, the Lord needs them, and he will let them go without delay. This happened that what was spoken by the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, inhabitants of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey, a beast of burden. Then the disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats upon them, and he seated himself on them. And most of the crowd kept spreading their garments on the road, and others kept cutting branches from the trees, scattering them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him kept shouting, Hosanna! Obi Proprius, graciously inclined to the Son of David, the Messiah, blessed, praised, glorified is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Obi favorably disposed in the highest heaven. And when he entered Jerusalem, all the city was there, and they were agitated and trembling with excitement. This was exciting. This is exciting. Jesus is here. They're celebrating. They're excited. And those that didn't know were saying, who is this? And the crowds replied, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. He's our Messiah. The king is here. I don't know, but when I walk into co-op, nobody's throwing their coats on the floor for me. Do you guys have this? Mary, do you got this? Nathan might throw his coat on the ground for you. But you know what? Nobody's doing it for me. Nobody's yelling, Hosanna, Dave's here. Right? Hosanna, the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee, the Messiah is here. That's exciting. And that's why they were so excited. And this point here, really to me, when you look at history, we're about to get the biggest plot twist, aren't we? The biggest plot twist is about to happen. See, we got Jesus and he's riding in on a donkey. And there's some serious victory celebrations. This is like, I don't know, Grey Cup parade times 100. Super Bowl parade times 100. Stanley Cup parade times a million. Like, this is big. This is a big thing. This is a big celebration. Their king had come, but not quite the way they thought, because they thought he was coming to overthrow the Roman Empire. But really, he was coming to overthrow and shake up their hearts, wasn't he? And I pray that as you go through life, that he has shaken up your heart, and that when you're going through life, you're like, Hosanna, the king is here, he's with me. And you're sharing his joy and his love with everybody you come in contact with. Because Hosanna, he is with me. And when we see this plot twist, what we know happens on the Thursday when he is betrayed. And we're going to talk about the supper just before he was betrayed in a moment here. We know what happens in a few days. These people that are saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! The king is here! In a couple days are saying to the same man, crucify him! Crucify him! And what are we doing in our hearts? Are we saying, Hosanna? Or are we saying, crucify him? What's our attitude toward Jesus? And to me, our attitude toward Jesus needs to be that celebratory one that we celebrate on Palm Sunday of, Hosanna, my king is here, my king is with me, Jesus is with me, Hosanna! Because as we move into Easter, and as we move into Good Friday on this Friday, we're going to talk more about that crucify him attitude, and we're going to talk more about the idea of crucify him and that shift that happened, and what happened, and what went on. But I think every day in our lives, we can live this idea of Hosanna. Our King is here. Our King is with us. And we can wave our palm branches wherever we go and be excited to know that he is with us. So we're going to partake in communion right away. So if you have your communion bag, I'm going to invite you to do that. I've got to participate in my part here of cleanliness. I did wash my hands before I came up, but I scratched my nose. So we put on some of our antibacterial stuff, and we're going to put on gloves because I want to serve our music team that is here communion. It's what we do every time we do communion. I love to serve our folks that are giving away and distributing communion. I love to serve our musicians with communion. So I'm just going to pass this out. Actually, I probably should give it to you. And I want you to take some time right now and just get your emblems out. And I want you to think and spend some time thinking about, what is your approach to Jesus? Do you have the approach of, Hosanna, my king is here? Or is your approach more of one of the crucify him idea? I pray it's one of Hosanna. And if it's not, why not? What's stopping you from that idea of Hosanna? The fact of, our king is here. And you might have many of your own reasons. And I'd love to talk to you about it. So call the church, and I'd love to chat to you about it. So what we're going to do before we participate in communion together is we're actually going to read a scripture, and then we're going to take some time. You know what? No, I'm going to change that. Sorry. We're going to pray first. And I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you've never accepted Jesus, if you want to participate in communion with us, because communion is intended for believers. It's intended for those that have right relationship, is what we're going to read here right away. So if you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, we're going to just take a moment. And I'm going to ask the music team. We did this the past couple weeks. I'm going to ask them just to repeat with me so that we're all doing this together. So you feel comfortable if you're at home, you see other people are doing it, and you just feel connected. So we'll just bow your heads with me, and if you don't know Jesus, just pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. And thank you for wanting to bring me in relationship with you. Jesus, forgive my sins. Make me new. Change my heart and draw me to you. Jesus, I pray that you will just encourage me, love me, and lead me to others who will love me. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me and making me a new creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, I invite you, call the church on Monday, 306-882-2453, and I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to give you a Bible and just talk to you about Jesus and what this looks like and might look like in your life. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time or you just re-prayed it right now and recommitted your life to Jesus, I want to invite you, if you don't have a communion care package, to grab a cracker or a piece of bread or whatever you want. It doesn't need to be a bread and drink. It could be a piece of apple and water. It's just the symbol of what we're doing. I want you to feel connected here. And we're just going to read some scripture here before we participate. And it's from 1 Corinthians 11:23 and to 34. And it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes," because he's coming back. "So therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment on himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many of you are weak, sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I'll arrange when I come." So he's saying to the disciples, saying to these guys, take a look at yourself. Make sure you're in right relationship with each other. Make sure you're in right relationship with me. Make sure there's nothing going on in your life that's holding you back from right relationship with me. It's all about relationships. And God is a God of relationships. He wants us in right connection with each other and in community. So even if you've said that prayer and now there's somebody you feel you need to make things right with, pause the video and make some phone calls. Make it right. But we're going to partake in this together. So while they were eating, it says in Matthew 26 to 28, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for sacrificing your body for us. Jesus, thank you that by your stripes we are healed and whole. In body, in mind, in spirit, you have made us whole. And Jesus, thank you for the emotional, the physical, the spiritual healing you have brought in our lives. And this is only healing you could have brought. So Jesus, we thank you. We honor you and we love you, Jesus. Oh, Hosanna, Jesus. You are our King. You are our Lord. Amen. Let's partake together. And when we keep reading in verse 28, it says, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. It's not like you have to say, well, okay, I accepted Jesus, but then I sinned, so I guess it's over. This is for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The ones that you've committed, the ones that you might commit, the thoughts you might have, it's for all of those sins. It's funny that something that can stain our clothes washes us white as snow, washes our spirit, corrects us, cleans us. I think this is something important to celebrate. So Jesus, once again, thank you for your blood you spilled on that cross. Thank you for the victory it brought. Thank you for the fact that it washes us and purifies us and cleanses us. We thank you for your sacrifice, Jesus. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's partake of the cup together. God, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, as a living, pure sacrifice for us, your kids. Thank you for calling us all to be your kids. And thank you for the fact that some of us have answered that call to you, to right relationship with you. Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for coming to this earth and sacrificing yourself for us. I pray, Jesus, that you will be continuing to impact people each day. That our community will be saved and will come to know you in a new and vibrant way. Jesus, thank you for your victory that you brought and that you continue to bring. Jesus, we love you. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. For your Son. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Mary and the team are going to lead us in a couple songs, then Mary's going to close in prayer. Thank you for coming. God bless you this morning.